being Asian female, it's sometimes hard. Growing up in Japan, making mistakes, speaking up, questioning being different are taken as a bad thing.
Hi, 各位 Kira 的听众，大家好，欢迎来到 Leading Ladies 的单元。我是主持人 Tiffany， 也是 Kira 的创办人。在30分钟的节目中，透过我和各产业女性领导者的对话，了解目前各种趋势议题，如多元共融的领导力、组织或管理的规模化、新时代理财、永续经营、成长性思维等讨论，以及更具全球视野的产业观点，和我们一起打造你的影响力，成为你想象的领袖。Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Leading Ladies. I'm your host, Tiffany. I'm the founder and CEO of CareHer, where we empower leadership for women through content, community, and curated experience. It has been an amazing year for us. We have expanded our community in Japan, Singapore, and Hong Kong. And it is our mission and goal to interview and share more stories of local women in these cities.So today, with great honor, I invited a friend of mine who also is very passionate about empowering women, and she actually had a podcast show before. She is born and raised in Japan. However, she had a lot of abroad experience in the States, worked in a Japanese domestic company before, and now working at Stripe. There's a lot that she can tell about us, and I personally enjoy a lot of conversation with her because today I really want to dive into two elements of her story. One is how she built her own identity. I think a lot of women our age, born and raised in Asia, educated in outside of Asia in States or Europe, we run into this problem of trying to find out who we are between the Eastern world and Western world. And I believe that's very common in Japan and both Taiwan.So I really want to invite Mari, our candidate today, our interviewee today, to share her story. So without further ado, I would like to invite Mari Nishiyama to say hi to everyone who is the startup partner lead at Stripe. Hi, Mari.
Hi, Tiffany. Thank you for the amazing introduction and thank you for having me today. I'm really excited.And also nervous.
Don't be nervous. Just a little bit about Mari. She actually just got number one at their golf tournament within Stripe, right? She's a golfer as well.
Yes. Technically, yeah, at my office. Yes.
So that's one of your passionate well. But Mari, please introduce yourself and take us back to, you know, your upbringing and how you become...the startup partner lead at Stripe. We'd love to know about more about you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So hi, everyone. My name is Mari. And like Tiffany mentioned earlier, I was born and raised in Japan prefecture called Kagawa, which is the smallest prefecture in Japan. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess many of you guys probably don't know, but please check it out. It's a very cool prefecture.If you love like arts, it's kind of becoming trend. Yeah. So I was raised there until high school. And, you know, I was such a basketball girl and played basketball for like 10 years. And when I was a senior at high school, when everybody else was like focusing on studying to go to uni, I was like, I have to study English if I want to work abroad. So I kind of got a just 1 year gap year.To like study in US. So that's, you know, my like global mindset character kind of like raised from there.
So you studied in US abroad during high school, right? Before college, before everything else. And where did you go?
In high school, I went to Virginia for like 10 months. And I was still playing basketball there. Like I didn't really study because it's like getting to know people, gettingunderstand culture there was more important for me. So I was really focusing on building like friendship as well as like basketball career. So I kind of had this like talk with my basketball coach in US that maybe I can get scholarship, you know, for like going to like college. I want to study. So I want to study in Japan. So I decided to go to university in Japan. I also studied abroad another year in Massachusetts during university to like really study. So I was studying like economics, management, and all like business stuff. And like my friends in US, like they're all about like, you know, I want to build my career in finance or banking. So that was really natural for me to choose like banking or finance as a first career. So that was like really natural. And then like when I was in university in US, I couldn't really speak up where, you know, like a lot of students in US, like they speak up and like say their opinion, like question a lot, but I couldn't do it. So I had this kind of like idea of me like working in the same level as them when I like grow up. So I was like, where, which industry could be like, you know, very competitive with like global, like people like around the world. And when I chose like banking career back then, a lot of Japanese banks were like investing into like foreign banks to expand their like business. So working for Japanese banks, maybe that would be the great idea. You know, I want to engage with like merger and acquisition department, and I want to make Japanese companies like big. That's why I joined one of the largest banks in Japan. Yeah.
So there are a lot of pivotal moments for you, and that kind of shaped your curiosity and your concept of wanting to be global, right? And to really talk about your identity. And you also mentioned that you selected this kind of this path of being in banking and finance because you wanted to be fair. You wanted to be also equally valued by the company based on your ability, your merit, not about how much you can speak up, right? How loud you can be at the meeting rooms. So can you share it with us more? Because I think it's very interesting that you have this sense of identity very early on as an Asian female, actually, right? Because I think Asian female are probably the group that never really thought about identity, and you're kind of told by the society what you should do.
Yeah.
But as a Japanese woman, you were able to kind of break free of that and you choose to go to the States. You even thought about being a professional athlete, getting scholarship. And then all of that experience and moments contributed to your confidence right now and also to being on a path you want. Can you share with us more about these moments and how it kind of, you know, inside your head, how did these voices or these thoughts kind of to pave the way and show you what you want to do?
I think definitely like my studying abroad journey changed me a lot in a good way. And it also gave me lots of confidence. You know, like Tiffany, you mentioned like, you know, being Asian female, it's sometimes hard because especially in Japan, maybe in Japan, growing up.
Even harder.
Yeah, like growing up in Japan, making mistakes, speaking up, also questioning a lot, and just like being different, taken as a bad thing. So, you know, but then like I was, you know, going outside of Japan, especially US, people accept, like accepted those things and also like appreciate them. So that was kind of like my like aha moment. Okay, that's, oh, being different is good. Like I don't have to worry about what other people like think about me. Like if I'm and like happy about myself, then I can be happy, you know? So that was like some moment that I was like, oh, you know, aha, you know, aha moment. So, you know, having this experience, now I try to be like, you know, different. Like I love being different. And then like, I speak up my opinion and like challenge anything that I want to. This is not easy, you know?
Yeah, like, it's not easy.
So what I learned is like, if you belong to only one community, it is very hard because you're always like, oh, how to be like the same with these people. So for example, when I was at the bank, so I was working at the bank for almost like 4 years.
The traditional one, the Japanese, the biggest one in Japan.
Yeah, one of the largest banks in Japan. And like after 2 years, I was like, maybe this career is not my, like, you know, what I expected because, you know, working for traditional large banks, like your opportunity, it's kind of limited if you're young and, you know, you have to work very long years.
Hours.
To become, hours and like long years to become where you want to go. So I kind of wanted to change my job, but it felt like, you know, quitting a job or changing a job seemed like a loser thing at the bank. So I couldn't like quit for like 2 years. So it took me another 2 years to like realize that it's okay to like change my job. It's okay. Like you don't have to think about if other people think that I'm a loser. Yeah. So, you know, now like from this experience, like I tried to belong to like different communities with different ages from different industry, like ethnicity, etc. So like I highly want to recommend other female to, you know, like just explore being with different people so that you can feel like, you know, it's okay to be different.
You mentioned so many challenges working in Japan or being a female in Japan, because like you said, it's hard to make mistakes and there's a lot of seniority issues, right? You can't really question your manager or someone that's more senior.
Yeah.
And also you always have to kind of see how everyone is acting and you have to kind of act the same. And you can't even quit your job because people tend to think working in the largest bank is such a great job. You should just continue to work for the life.
Yeah.
But you changed all of that. And you mentioned many times about the importance of community, of different people supporting you, letting you know it's okay, letting you feel you belong. Can you tell us a little bit more about the value of community? Like, how did you first, like, what types of community do you have right now, except from work or school, other communities that support you?
Yeah, I wouldn't say the community, but I try to catch up with like different female. So for example, you know, I'm now working with startups. So I will have this like female friends in the same area from VC, accelerators, and the startups. So we just meet up like occasionally to talk about like what are the challenges that they're facing and what are the exciting things that they're working on. So this kinds of like, you know, a good way to like keep you going and then also getting like inspired. So I like that community. And also I love to catch up with my foreign friends from university or from like even coworker because they are doing something different and they also inspire me a lot. So I love like catching up with my coworkers and friends in US. Yeah. And also like I love going camping. So I met some of like campers who are like older than me and we're just totally in a different world. Some people like in a design industry or just, you know, freelancers. So I just sometimes like I catch up with them through like camping to talk about what's hot, what's not, you know, and some people didn't know about like NFT. So I would tell, like teach them what it is and they would teach me like something different. So those kind of like different people I tried to like hang out.
For your community, it's really, it can be shared experience, shared background, share hobby, or even just share industry knowledge because you're all in the similar industry. You mentioned that, you know, you were at the traditional financial institution that the local Japanese bank for up to almost four years, right? 3.5 to 4 years.
Yeah.
And then you now transit to Stripe, which is a fintech, a leading fintech. That's a significant shift. Can you elaborate more on your passion? Because financial industry and banking seems to still be the path that you are in. And that is something that's quite rare.
Yeah.
We see a woman that's so passionate about. What are some opportunities or challenges in this fintech space that resonate with you?
Yeah, sure. So actually, I want to also talk about my career after bank. So between bank and Stripe, I went to Deloitte Financial Advisor to like engage with Japanese financial institutions to like develop their M&A strategy, you know, like engaging with like M&A department. That was my first job. So, you know, I was like, okay, if I can't achieve this like career at the bank, I'm going to go to another different company to achieve my goal. So I decided to go to Deloitte Financial Advisory. And back then, like, you know, fintech was kind of like a big trend in Japan. It was kind of like five, 6 years ago. work at the bank, I was always working with traditional Japanese companies. So like I never really heard of fintech. Mm. So I was like very curious about what it was. And I did my own research and I found out it was just like such a, you know, fantastic like industry with like new technology, and they wanted to
potential, like, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, oh my God, like, why did I not know this? Like, mm-hmm. I was working at the bank, like, why, you know? And back then my team was looking for somebody who wants to like engage with like fintech project to really like find out what we can offer to our clients. So immediately I was like, I raised my hands. Like, and then I was like, I want to really engage with this project. Mm-hmm. Whereas like everyone else was like, kind of like, yeah, I have this like main job. I don't think I can spare my like, you
time.
Know,
yeah.
time to do like research or project that has no goal. Right. Mm-hmm. But then I would just raise my hands and really like, you know, focusing on fintech. So mm-hmm. I would say my curiosity brought me where I am now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, which changed whole my like career. I think the energy that I get from like fintech, not only fintech, but like new technology.
Startups,
new technology. The people I work with, I interact with, really resonates me a lot. They have this energy that inspires me and motivates me. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, they have this, like, they want to solve the existing problems mm-hmm. and want to spread whatever the area they're in. Mm-hmm. So this energy really resonates me, and I, you know, and I really enjoyed like, you know, being here.
The startup and the new tech innovation part that all kind of excites you, it also comes with a lot of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's quite rare that I see a Japanese woman so comfortable with uncertainty.
Yeah.
How do you deal with these uncertainties?
Yeah, I guess every time when I face uncertainty, I feel nervous. But just think about what you've done, you know, every time when you work on something new, you will eventually solve it, or you will eventually find a way to work on it. So that's how I face. I'm like, okay, eventually I will get there or eventually I will know what I'm working on. So that's kind of like normal to me. Like I love like, you know, facing like challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Like imagine like, for example, when I moved to like Deloitte from bank, I was like, I've never done this. I don't know how to do this. I'm so nervous. Mm-hmm. But then as you go, like go through this experience, and then suddenly you're like, oh, I can do this. Like no problem. Yeah. So
you figure it out.
Yeah, like that's my mentality.
Mm-hmm. You kind of learn and build and figure it out while you go, right? And,
yeah.
and even if you didn't make it in one try, you will eventually make it.
Yeah.
So the last question is, would you be comfortable? Because I know a lot of Asian women are not comfortable if they are being described as driven and ambitious. But are these like the type of words that you feel comfortable embracing yourself as?
Yes, definitely. When people say I'm ambitious, I would love that. Like that's a compliment, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. Yes.
I would love that.
And I think that's also something Mari and I have talked about, because we're both the more driven and ambitious type of a working woman. And that kind of drives our success. But a lot of women are afraid of being described as very driven and having a lot of ambition. So what are some advice or moments that you can share with everyone how that label didn't stop you from going to where you are?
Yeah, I, you know, prior to this podcast, I was thinking like, what could be like, you know, the advice that I can give to, you know, audiences. And I came up with like two principles of mine. And the first one is self-reflection to stay motivated. And then the second one is like see other women's success. So the first one, see like self-reflection to stay motivated. So every 3 months, like I try to review myself, like what did I do? Like what I learned this like 3 months and what went well and then bad. And then also set a goal that you want to achieve next 3 months. So from this process, you will see your personal growth, and then also you will gain motivation. Mm-hmm. It's very like I go through this exercise like every 3 months, right? So it's very surprising to see how much you've grown only 3 months. Mm. Every time when I look at my goals from 3 months ago, I'm like, why did I set this goal? Like,
it's too easy.
Too easy. Like, why did I even set this goal? Like, yeah. It looks so easy, right? So you will see like, oh, I've grown, growing up, mm-hmm. like grown. So, and then also like, I'm like a person who wants to get motivated all like most of the time. So I want some goals that I can achieve if I work hard. Mm-hmm. So I really highly recommend this like similar exercise. Yeah, it's really good, I think. And the second one, like see other women's success. So I realized, and I know that from my childhood, I always look up to female success. For example, when I was playing basketball and I was really serious about it, mm-hmm. and I would have some female players who's successful in national team or professional league. And their success, when I heard their success, that kept me going. So I think that's kind of like, that's who I am. But now I try to look at like different women's success, whether mm-hmm. it's like, you know, not only like startup world, but also like Fortune 500, you mm-hmm. know, female CEO. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a female actress, like, what are they working on, like mm-hmm. around like empowering female? Mm-hmm. And it's been like such a great like learning that, you know, I will notice that, oh, like not only like investing in female startups empowers female. Like, for example, this is I noticed that Natalie Portman, she's a mm-hmm. very famous actress, right? Mm-hmm. So she established female football club called Angel FC in LA. Mm-hmm. And a lot of like investors of the football club, like very famous females. So that football team is becoming like, you know, big and gain some like, you know, popularity around like football, you know, fans. So you know, it doesn't have to be like man or female, but everyone mm-hmm. can also support female. So I learned that, you know, going to the female like sports game can also empower female. So
yeah,
I think
sure.
that's great to like explore like, you mm-hmm. know, other female success. And actually I created this blog 2 months ago to mm-hmm. feature this kind of different females, like to see like what's their success and like what do they do around like female empowerment. So yeah, that's a good also exercise for me too.
Mm, maybe one day you can create your own you know, basketball or golf team for all to empower yeah. more younger female in Japan as well.
I would love to.
Yeah. So the two advice that takeaways that you share with everyone is to really have some self-reflections periodically, right? Set up a time to have their self-reflections just to see how far you've come, how much you've grown. And actually, it's a lot easier 3 months later looking back when you set the goal. And the second one is to maybe have different female role models, you know, and to celebrate other female success and learn from them. So lastly, we want to ask Mari, what is your recent goals that you set up?
Goal that I set, it was July, because, you know, every 3 months I would do that. It's like kind of job, right? Like every quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So last quarter, which was July, I set this goal to like start doing something around female empowerment. Mm-hmm. So that's why I started my own blog.
Mm.
Yeah. So this is, I started from scratch. I created the blog by myself, and I'm, you know, trying to like come up with the contents and everything. So it was kind of like, you know, it seemed so hard for me because there was only like this like very like broad like goal. But then now I'm like getting closer and closer. So
mm-hmm. yeah. And maybe we can share your blog later in the episode so people can It's in Japanese, right?
Yes.
So a lot of our community in Japan can also click to your blog and to see the stories that you featured, and maybe they can get inspired as well.
Yes.
So from the stories that you shared with us, being able to do things that empower other women or just inspire others is very important to you. And can you share with us why? Is there any moment or reason that this is so meaningful and matter to you?
I think it was when I joined this pitch event, which Japanese female founders were pitching to foreign investors in English. Mm-hmm. Mm. And I saw that, you know, those Japanese female founders seemed less confident, even though what they're working on seemed pretty amazing. Mm. So this event really made me think, like, why are they less confident? Like, why, you know? Mm-hmm. So I did kind of a little bit of research on why, like, the females are less confident in, like, the business occasion. And I found out that female founders get less funding. And then also, you know, females tend to, like, not ask, like, you know, like, direct questions. So, you know, that really made me think, like, how do we motivate them? I couldn't believe it. So since then, like, empowering female became like my life goal, like in the long term. So it was a great experience. And I've been still, you know, to this day, I've been still thinking, like, you know, empowering female is such a big theme. So how can I really, like, you know, contribute to this, like, empowering female? So I'm still, you know, figuring out, but this is very important to me.
Yeah, I definitely echo with what you say, that I think a lot of times women feel that they're not, they're less comfortable voicing what they're doing, and they're very humble. And also they feel like they're not 100% there yet. While a lot of times, you know, either for men or when it comes to opportunities, you might have to be more confident in yourself and to really talk about what you do instead of feeling that you're unprepared and too humble. And I think that definitely needs a lot of role models, examples, or support for women to realize that you're actually much better than you think you are. You actually don't have to apologize, and you are actually ready. So I think it's important for Mari to really be in this ecosystem in startup to encourage more female founders and to really support them. Thank you, Mari. Thank you for sharing with us your passion, your energy, and how you were willing to defy all these challenges or social norms in Japan and to really just pursue your passion in fintech and just in innovation in technology and just to create something to go solve problems and, you know, embracing uncertainty. I think that's amazing and such a role model to other Japanese women to know that it's okay to kind of not know what's going to happen. It's okay to fail. It's okay to question. It's okay to raise your voice. So thank you again, yeah. Mari, and we hope to get to see you more often.
Thank you for having me. And Tiffany, what you're doing inspires a lot of women in Asia.
Thank you. 嗨，大家喜欢这集的内容吗？欢迎在 Apple Podcast、Spotify 或本集描述中最底下的连结帮我们评分留言，让我们知道你的想法。除了 Podcast 外 ，Carehug 更策划了很多很棒的线下活动，每个月都有各式主题活动，从小型亲密的商业主题 Salon 到集结商业领袖的大型论坛，甚至是夏日论坛，以及是年末会员专属的 Gala 参会。透过这些活动，会员还能独家享受 Think Tank 内容以及邀请制的圆桌聚餐。更多详情，请点击本集描述中成为 Carehug 会员了解。